All right. Thank you, everybody. Good morning. And Bill is fine, by the way. I was introduced as William, but Bill is fine. I am down in Mississippi and got a good team down there, and we're going to talk today about summer cover crops of sorghum, and specifically that the sorghum Sudan grass reduces fall lettuce growth and yield when used as a summer cover crop. So there's myself there. I'm the presenting author today. Sarah Reynolds was a grad student. She just finished up last year, and so this was really her project, but this was a follow-on after she finished her years of work on it. And then we have Bobby Williams down at LSU, and Anna Horton is a technician of mine now, and Carl Mossenbacher, and he's the lead on the project. And you see at the bottom of the slide here, this was a Southern Sarah-funded project, which we're just wrapping up. And this was the third year of a study with fall organic vegetables. And we looked at production of, in this last year, we were looking at leaf lettuce. The field has been in the same study for these three, it's actually 4 years, with the same cover crop each of the summers, and for the last 3 years of the study, same cover crops and the same fertilizer treatments in each of the subplots. I'll talk about the design here in a minute. And we've done this at Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and at Crystal Springs, Mississippi. And again, this is just the third year of that. Both results have been similar in terms of the allelopathy I'm going to talk about here, so we're just going to focus on the Crystal Springs data here today. Of course, sorghum Sudan has a well-known allelopathic property to it. You plant it, and it really, for those of you that don't know what allelopathy is, that's the inhibition of a future crop after that, or of other plants around it in a mixed ecosystem. So, but for this study, we have some really aha data I'll show here in a minute for this local evidence of this allelopathy that will serve our growers well in our region, because there's not a lot of this stuff that's, we know this stuff, but it's not been done locally, and so this is really valuable. And the study itself and this being on the web after we're done with this will provide great opportunities for our growers and others that might be considering using sorghum Sudan. And we saw some sorghum Sudan this morning. If you were in the talks earlier today, they were doing it in the tropics. They were using some with some pigeon peas, and they saw some growth reduction there. And we're not sure. I was visiting with that scientist a little while ago, and we're not sure whether that was an allelopathy effect or a seeding, or some other effect, because she hadn't really investigated that yet. But it's really interesting stuff. So the cover crop production, what would we do? We had sorghum Sudan was one of the, a full stand of that, a monocrop stand of sesame, a monocrop stand of sun hemp, which is Crotalaria, which is a legume, and a sesame sun hemp blend, which we developed because in that case we were trying to reduce the cost of the sun hemp seeds. And the sesame produces just about as much biomass under our conditions as sun hemp does, and so we were playing with that. These were planted in a prepared flat ground in July of 2013. They're grown for about 60 days, and you'll see the 60-day, you'll see the stage of the sorghum Sudan after 60 days. They're flail mowed and tilled in, and then the field was rested at least 30 days before we planted the fall vegetable crop. So the idea of the whole study was summer cover crops for fall vegetable production. We're trying to do something in this hot, dryish weather that we have in the summertime in Mississippi and Louisiana, where there's not a lot of excess rainfall, there's not a lot of excess soil moisture, where it's too hot to grow tomatoes and things. So we're just, this is a good, because we can use the winter, we can use the soil all winter for cash crops. So here's what the sorghum Sudan grass looks like at flailing time. And remember, for this, we did not add any fertilizer to grow the cover crops. The cover crops are growing on their own in whatever's residual in there. So we're using them as a trap crop to a degree, too, in this. So to be honest, this is not the densest stand of sorghum I've ever had, but it's there's a lot of biomass there. Thoroughly incorporated the stuff. Flail it, mow it, and then we got to disc and prep because we got to get lettuce in there a little later. You can see, and if I can do this with the mouse here, let's see how we do here. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do this because I'm not sure I'm going to. Anyway, I guess I'm not going to be able to do that because I'm not sure what I'm doing up here on the computer. But if you look and you see the light patches on the in toward the middle of the field, on the far end, far side of the of where we're our perspective is from. See those light patches? That is still some of the residue of some of the cover crops that's visible after the tilling of the soil. Composted broiler litter. That's what we superimposed on the cover crops in this study as the subplot. So the cover crops were main plots, and the compost broiler was a subplot. And in our case, it was a sawdust bedding, a mix of hard and soft wood, so oaks and pines mainly, combined with chicken waste materials and droppings from chicken houses. Recovered, composted to a heat, turned and aerated, and rested for at least 60 days. And it was we applied it as delivered. We did not dry it additionally or otherwise process it when we applied it. And it came from Curry Farms, and the approximate analysis is a 2-2-2. It's balanced but low. For the lettuce that we did, we added the CBL to the subplots of those cover crops at 0 up to 5 tons per acre, rototilled in. And then Nevada, which is a Batavian-style lettuce, so it's not a crisp, it's not the iceberg or crisp head lettuce that we saw this morning, but it's not a romaine, so it's somewhere in between those two. It kind of folds its leaves, makes a really nice head of lettuce. Anyway, and it was transplanted about, in our case, it was about 32 days after the cover crops were flail mowed and incorporated. Twin rows, 12-inch spacing in the row on narrow top beds, and the beds were 42 inches apart, similar to what we saw from Arizona this morning on the traditional old style they used to do out there that they're moving away from. We used a traveling gun to set those transplants, and the only fertilizer this lettuce got was the CBL before transplanting. In this particular year, we had a heavy rain about midway through the crop that led to some problems in Rep 4 because we had standing water for more than 24 hours in parts of the field. And then someone else earlier talked about how cold it was this year. We had an early, really deep frost before the lettuce was ready, and we actually ran out. We knew it was coming. I ran down to Louisiana, bought a bunch of Agribon, hauled it back up, and my grad student and I, my technician and I, we had this great fun putting the Agribon on that wet field, and it was fun. And we did spads twice, and we harvested the middle row. We were able to fit 3 rows in a plot, in a subplot, and these were graded and weighed. So here's what the lettuce looks like when we're putting it in. All uniform plants, you can see every plot's getting uniformly done. This is the one case where we wish we had a transplanter on the station, because normally we're doing such small plots that that it's more efficient not to use transplanter. But this day, when we're putting in over 2,000 plants, it would have been nice to have to just run down the row. So now we start seeing the allelopathy. Here we are. The lettuce isn't fully grown yet, but you can see. Do you see? On the far side of the screen from where I'm standing, so it's on the left as you're viewing the screen, in the middle of the field, you see where that lettuce is very, very small. That is the allelopathy that we're looking at. And the lettuce never recovers from that. The maturing lettuce, when it looks good, is looking like that. And that's what we're going for. But this is a really pretty profound example of the allelopathy of the as we look at the top picture, if you look at that top picture, you're looking at a single sorghum Sudan plot, main plot. And in the front of us is one of the nitrogen rates, one of the compost rates. The second plot is the no compost rate, and that's where the allelopathy is aha, wow. And then the third and fourth are the other two rates. So, but when we look at the, and then there's a close-up at the bottom of the slide where you can see the real profound allelopathy. Someone might say, what's that pie plate doing there? Well, the pie plate was there to reduce some deer infestations that we had. We tried everything. Oh, my gosh. We tried everything. So let's look at the yield. So this is lettuce yield. All the heads harvested from the 10 feet of that middle row on the left side of the screen is the crotal area with the 4 bars, the red, the blue, the white, and the black, are the increasing rates of compost broiler litter. And then the CSES is the crotal area with the sesame blend, and then the sesame after that, and then on the right is the sorghum Sudan. So you can see on the sorghum Sudan, we get almost no lettuce. And there were no interactions in yield, by the way. As you can see up at my little chart on the right side of the right upper right, the cover crop was highly significant. The CBL rate was highly significant. But with sorghum Sudan, we get almost no lettuce at all without the fertilizer. And we get recovery, but we can never get up to what we got with the Crotalaria or the Crotalaria sesame or the sesame. We were never able to achieve those yields with that. When we look at the mean head weight, same thing, greatly reduced with the sorghum Sudan, and we do not get what we were given with the Crotalaria. Of course, Crotalaria, remember, is a legume, so we're getting a nitrogen effect there, we believe, on that. And again, the cover crop and the compost and broiler litter were significant, but the interaction was not. So the response was the same across. I just have it presented as interaction type charts today so that we can talk about the sorghum response. So again, pretty profound there, we believe, and not something that we were able to recover completely with the CBL. SPADs, lower nitrogen levels in the sorghum Sudan plots, which again are on the right side of the screen. In this case, there was an interaction. We got more of an upward response with the sorghum Sudan until that 2.5 rate than we did with some of the other products. And this is the only time we saw an interaction in the work. And here, the CBL was not significant by the time we got to harvest time, near harvesting time, but the cover crop was still a significant difference. And again, that's the sorghum Sudan that we're seeing there. And the interaction was not significant, although you look at this slide and you think, well, maybe it should have been, but in our case, it wasn't statistically significant, so we can't present it that way. So that's the profound little piece that I wanted to bring you all, was that the lettuce growth appeared impaired when it was grown with the sorghum Sudan, and this impairment was visible very quickly after establishment, and it continued through harvest. Increasing rates of CBL helped the lettuce partially overcome the negative effects of the sorghum Sudan, but not completely. And almost no marketable lettuce was harvested from the sorghum Sudan grass except at the highest rate of CBL. So I didn't bring the grade out here today, but that's and so at least for now, unless something changes, even though we get huge biomass, I just really can't recommend sorghum Sudan as a summer cover crop for us under our conditions. I want to thank my crew down there, Peter Hudson, the facilities coordinator, Janie Taylor, administrative assistant. I rarely thank the people that sponsor programs, but Tina's just awesome, and I figured it was time. So she's just great. Veronica Leonard helping on some of the administrative stuff, Adams Briscoe Seed with some of the seeds, and, of course, Curry Farms. And if there's time, I'll answer a question or two. That's a great question. The question was, he didn't see a non-cover crop control, and how would that respond? Baton Rouge actually has the non-cover crop control. We were space limited, and we voted it off the list in the very beginning of the study. You would see the profound response to the fertilizer, but the Crotalaria is providing some of the extra nitrogen that the lettuce needs. So it's still going to outperform. In our cases, it tends to outperform the non-cover crop control. This being certified organic land, we have an obligation to try and maintain and or build soil health. Thus, the summer season is when we can afford to use the land for building organic matter and things, and that's biology, and that's why we're trying to incorporate it in the systems. Thanks. Under our conditions, I would not recommend sorghum Sudan for lettuce production. Summer cover crop, fall lettuce, definitely not. We saw similar things with broccoli too. Others have success, maybe if we had a longer window, but...
didn't you find any wheat?
Oh, I have data from other years. We have data from other years. Weed control is very different in the different cover crops, and it all has to do with stand establishment and covering that canopy with covering the soil with shade. And there's one other thing in that. I'll talk to you about that later, very quickly.
Last question.
Yeah. What was your carbon nitrogen ratio on sorghum versus the others? And do you think it is a combination of allelopathy and high CN ratio in the sorghum that produced this problem, rather only allelopathy by itself? Because
it,
when you apply
the question. She's got a great question. The question is the carbon nitrogen ratio of the sorghum Sudan versus the other stuff and whether that's contributing to the problem. Yes, I think it does contribute because we overcame some of it with the nitrogen from the fertilizer. However, the sesame is a non-legume, and now it has a lower C-N ratio by a degree, but it's not crotalaria by any stretch. And the lettuce grew just fine with relatively indistinguishable yield differences with sesame versus the crotalaria for all but the very highest rate. So I attribute it mostly to allelopathy. But thank you. Great.